in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely island nation of Sri Lanka, where it remains warm and tropical and still infested by the dark side, very much infested by the demonic. Yes, absolutely. But in the midst of it all, Jesus Christ remains Lord of all. Even though his people are oftentimes, seemingly in the natural, outnumbered, put in difficult situations, he's always there with us. And you know, part of the call of God upon our lives is to show forth his glory amidst trying and difficult circumstances, to reveal and to show that no matter what comes around us, he does indeed carry us through. See, one of the issues that we continue to have as we walk in and through this life is, you know, honestly, you and I, the wiring that we have in our natural being is to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. That is, you know, that's what human nature would look for. Human nature would look for that which is easy, that which is, you know, coddles the flesh, that which, you know, it looks for a certain thing. Whereas, when it comes to life and the road that God would lead us on, the road that God would lead you and I on is oftentimes, well, frankly, most times, it is a struggle. You know, it is a difficulty, it is a tough path. And there's a reason for that. I mean, we've talked about it before, of just, you know, if you wanted to get stronger, you don't strengthen yourself by you don't get stronger by having an easy time in the gym or having an easy time in your exercise. You get stronger by being pushed. That's why people hire personal trainers. Is because when they hire a personal trainer, that person will push them in a way that they probably wouldn't push themselves. Not everybody needs that, but you get the point. You need to be pushed. You need to be stretched. And that stretching experience, it's not fun, and it's not easy. But it is fulfilling when you come to the other side of it. See, when you and I come to the other side of all that we face, when we come through, when we get a chance to breathe and look back, you realize what an amazing adventure you had. You realize what an amazing time that you had as God would lead you through. That's a work of His Spirit. Now, you and I, we have a role to play in all that's going on right now. God has something for you and I to do. He has a role for you and I to play in all that's taking place in the earth at this time. His people scattered throughout the world, fulfilling His purposes in such a time as this. Now, I know that it's tough to see sometimes, because especially in just the day-to-day grind that we face, the struggles that we go through, the pain of this life, it's hard to see in the middle of that what possibly bigger picture could be going on. Most of us spend so much time seemingly just trying to keep our heads above the water, just trying to keep from being devoured. You know, but God has always carried us. God has always taken us through. And, you know, right now, for some reason, the world is kicking it into overdrive. You know, the demonic is picking up. And with everything that the demonic is doing, you know, there are things that you and I can do to be smarter. There are things that you and I can do to make ourselves less at risk. You know, you can reduce how much you are targeted, but you will still be stretched. Because, you know, sometimes you got to do a few things just to minimize the points at which you can be attacked. Closing some of the open doors that are there, thinking about your life in such a way where you say, okay, where is it that the enemy keeps hitting me? Where is it that the enemy keeps coming after me? Well, is there something that you can do to cut that out? Take a look. Have a look. Have a seat. Just see if there's something that you can do that will minimize the enemy's chances at getting at you in a particular area of your life. You know, I'm, for example, something simple, but, you know, like transportation. I know for myself, I have a lot of struggles with the vehicle that I got right now. Now, you know, and that then carries over into everything else. And I do think some of the things that even happened to my truck are spiritual in nature. Just because they're so random and so out there, and just the fact that they happen the way that they do, it's like, oh my gosh. But, you know, there are things that I can do to completely make this irrelevant. I can go public transportation, I can switch out, can rent something, don't have to think about it. You know, that's just practical. But, you know, think about whatever things that you struggle with, whatever, you know, just day-to-day things in the day-to-day life that you have. Make a list of those things that are just ongoing issues for yourself, and look and see if 2, 3, 5 of those could be changed or swapped out or made better if you just did a couple things differently. Because, you know, I do think that it's those little foxes that spoil the vine, that those little things that just chew away at you. And, you know, to get rid of some of those things that are taking away is not a bad thing. So, you know, there just comes a point where you got to make that decision. You got to make that call on what it is. So, anyways, just some practical thoughts on life here in a temporal world where, look, everything's breaking down because of entropy. Everything is falling apart. Your very body that you're in, it's got time stamped on it. You can feel and see and sense yourself even getting older as the days pass. That's life. That's life in a temporal world. So as people, you know, continue to amass their treasures and amass their existence here, they do so on shifting sands. They build themselves sandcastles in a place where it's all wasting away. You know, nothing in this life lasts. You got to remember that. Nothing in this life lasts. The only thing that goes on from here is your relationship with Christ and your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Him. That's it. Nothing else here is going to last. It's going to go on. And you and I, with the things that we face on a day-to-day basis, you know, we face struggles in a temporal reality, in a world breaking down and falling apart. That's also why the kingdom is within, and the focus needs to be within. Because if you don't, if you focus on what's without, if you let that consume you, you focus on something that's already deteriorating by the very design and setup of this paradigm. To focus on what's without is to focus on that which is not lasting. So now there's global situations going on. In what is modern day, you know, what used to be the Babylonian Empire in the old school days is modern day, if I'm not mistaken, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, that region, that area. You know, spiritually, here's something too. Even though the names of countries might change, the powers and the principalities over those places don't necessarily. You know, they exist in another dimension. And it's interesting to see how certain things happen in the realm of spirit because of the powers and the principalities that are associated with certain places, with certain things that go on in the reality that we face here and now. You know, I mean, how many of you out there, how many do you sense it? When you walk into a building and there is something dark in that place, you feel it in your being because you're a child of God, you're a child of light, and you sense that other side. I mean, how many of you, when you meet a particular person, you feel either the light of truth in that person, or you feel that that is a person given over to the dark side? How many of you feel that? How many of you do sense that? You know, you're a spiritual being. You know certain things. Likewise, when you and I face, when we travel, when we go to different places, you can literally touch down in a nation and you will get a spiritual sense of what it's like. And you will leave a nation, and a lot of things that will be, you know, powers over those places and those regions, when you go to another spot, you don't feel that anymore. Because that power is also assigned a geographic location in the realm of spirit, and it stays true to its assignment. You know, the devil's kingdom is a very strict military structure. Very, very strict military structure. And they, you know, they adhere to their chain of command. You know, yes, there's a lot of, you know, jockeying for power within their own kingdom. But at the same time, they stay within their command. And, you know, their instructions at different levels, you know, involve always, you know, to rob, steal, kill, destroy. You know, all in line with the authority that is over that, which is the thief, the devil, the liar, Satan, you know, that seeks to do these things in and through what it has to work with. Now, you know, for us, always the thing that the challenge that we face is how now do we live? You know, how now do we go through life in this world without him? You can't. That's just it. So you need him. See, if you need Christ Jesus, I need Christ Jesus. The whole thing about salvation is when you go through life in this world without him, without a conscious and a living relationship with him, you experience what it is to, I mean, it's just the grace of God, God being merciful on you, to allow you to continue to exist. Because, you know, if the world had its way, it would completely destroy you in a flash, in a second. But God gives people time. He gives them opportunity to repent. He gives them a chance to get right. He gives them a chance to live the truth. He gives them a chance to make amends. And he creates the opportunity for that. You know, Zacchaeus. You remember the rhyme. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed to the top of a sycamore tree. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? Come down. I'm going to your house for tea. Something along those lines. But Zacchaeus, what was the principle with him? Yes, he was a worlder. Yes, he had cheated people, robbed, stole, done a lot of things. But what was the principle with Zacchaeus? Hey, for him, when everything came down to it, when the opportunity for him was there to follow the Father, to follow Christ, when Christ Jesus was made available to him, when he climbed to the top of a tree, the grown man, well, tiny man too, but short man, but he climbed. He said, you know what? That's what I want. Even if I've got to see it from a distance, and I've got to climb to the top of this tree just to take a look over, that's what I want. And Jesus recognized that in him. He saw that this man, if he was just given the opportunity, he would walk with and follow me. So Jesus gave him the opportunity. And what did Zacchaeus do? He made things right away. What was the first thing that left him? Well, when salvation came to his house, when joy came into his soul, the money and the power that he was trying to find in the world that he thought would fill things, and he realized it didn't, he just gave it away. It didn't matter to him anymore. You know, for the follower of Christ, money doesn't matter. We're good stewards over what God puts in our care. But money doesn't matter. Power doesn't matter. Pleasure doesn't matter. You know, you get your pleasure and your satisfaction by following Christ. You get your pleasure and your joy in your spirit by knowing that you've done that which pleases Him. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the riches of the kingdom of God made manifest in and through your life for all to see. You know, the world needs to see this. The world needs to see you in your Zacchaeus experience. See, that's why God's allowed so many of us to go the way that we've gone, to do the things that we've done, to be, you know, hooked into the world system, and then to pull us out by a strong hand and to reveal and show that yes, indeed, this is the better way. Yes, indeed, this is what you really long for in your soul. And then the worlders to see, wow, this guy, he left all of that to go follow Christ. And people wonder, they want to know, well, what is this Christ all about? Why would somebody leave that high-paying, secure job, that association? Why would somebody that had, you know, a man of level in the world? Zacchaeus was a man of esteem, even though people looked down on him within the Roman community, or not the Roman, the Jewish community at the time. At the same time, he was a guy that got things done. He was a guy that was in a position of power where he could extract money from people, and they had to pay him. So, you know, the worlders, hey, they like that. And when they see somebody in a position that then chooses to let that go for the sake of something else, it speaks volumes. Because they say, well, why? Why? Why would somebody do that? Why would somebody let go of everything this world has to offer? For what? What did they make that exchange for? Because, you know, the world is constantly doing a cost-benefit analysis, a due diligence study, ratios they run in their head for why to do this and why not to do that. You know, here's the thing. The kingdom of God will not make sense to the natural mind, because the wisdom of God is stronger than the... It's so much higher than the wisdom of men. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so is His wisdom and knowledge and understanding above ours. The thoughts of God, the methods of God. Think about the method of God. Here is Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, and God wanting to show and express a living manifestation of Himself in the form of Christ Jesus coming into this world. And where does He set Himself up? Where does He put Himself? Where does He do it? Go back and read the story. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, start of the books. Jesus born in a manger. No room at the inn. No space. No nothing. Just, you know, a rough start in life, if you would. A little bit behind at the very first swing at the plate, in the natural. But God, what does God do? Look, anything that is empowered by the Spirit of God changes. And that is the point that Jesus made in His existence. That is the point in what He showed in His earthly ministry, is that for you and I, when we are touched by the Spirit of God, things change. Things change. They absolutely change. For us, we... Look, when Jesus, when the Spirit of God descended upon Him as a dove, it changed. You know, His existence changed. The things that He did changed. The power that He moved in changed. His boldness to preach and teach came out. You know, when somebody is touched by the Spirit of God, the very creation that they are changes. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, for myself, I think back to what God has done in my heart and my life, and I see how He's changed me. You know, when I was a kid, I was shy and nervous. You know, there's a lot of things about me where it's like that my character is very different after the Spirit of God came upon me. When I received the baptism of the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, when that came upon me, that changed me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit changed me. God put a boldness in my heart. God put a boldness in my spirit that is incredible. How I approach things changed. My thought process changed. The things that I thought were valuable changed. My hope, my dreams, the future that I anticipated changed. You know, with Christ in your heart, the things that you value will shift. Now, you know, this is also one of the reasons why Christ cautions us about guarding our heart. In the book of Proverbs, it cautions us about that. Jesus talks about a lot of things, you know, in the world. And, you know, I tell you what, the simplest way to serve Christ is just you following Him, doing His will, period. Now, at the same time, there's a fulfillment that comes from doing things God's way. And that includes in relationship, that includes in, you know, how you go about making decisions and choices. Whatever you do, if you do it in line with the Word of God, there's a blessing in there for you. You know, there's a blessing in it for you and I. And there's also a downside. There's a negative side to when you and I fail to follow the express will of God. There is consequences for that. And those consequences can be hard, but you know what? You and I, we buck up, we go through it, and then we move on. Because God would have you and I to live the abundant life. And part of the way that that's got to happen is for us to come through. You know, you and I, we got to come through it all. Not get pulled out of it, but go through it. You know, we've been talking about all this stuff recently because I think God is looking to do a few things in the hearts of His people at this time, because there's a lot that's coming up. The world is going to get pretty messy pretty soon. You know, and when it does, God doesn't want His people melting down. You know, God doesn't want His people acting like the worlders act. He doesn't want them thinking the way the worlders think. He doesn't want people seeing the world through carnal eyes. Because if you see the world through carnal eyes, you're going to miss it. You won't see what's really going on. If you see the world through the natural eyes, you will not see and understand what's really going on, nor how you should respond to it. You know, when light is shown on situations, that's when you truly understand this is what it is. And God wants His people to be free and to live the abundant life. So you and I were called to freedom. It's something to which you and I were called. But in order to live in that freedom, you have to be a slave unto righteousness and a slave unto Christ. Because He looses us to follow Him. Christ also at the same time binds us into freedom. And while the world looses us into bondage, the world's idea of freedom and what it sells people, and I know a little bit about selling, and I know a little bit about sales, you know, with what the world does is it sells you a false bill of goods. And the only thing is, once the only time that people realize that they made a bad purchase is after the fact, after their souls are, you know, going down this line, they trusted the sales job. So the worlders sell you, let's say, a promiscuous lifestyle. Well, what's the consequence of that? Well, there's no fulfillment. There's no joy. There's nothing to look forward to. And you cheapen and degrade yourself, and you degrade somebody else, and the lack of intimacy and even the distance that you feel from your own self, because you're fragmenting your own your own triune being. You know, you're fracturing yourself. The very fact that you are, I mean, what do you expect? After a while, you think that just things are going to be all right? Things are going to be okay? Things are going to be joyful? No. You know, but the people that follow the way of the world and the thinking that the world has, they experience that misery. I think that's why they spend so much time sedating themselves and drunk, because they don't want to deal with the reality of their choices. Whereas God calls His people out. And when He calls His people out, they go down a particular line. that, you know, it's not easy, but it's a process of freedom. And, you know, for us, it's like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, whatever comes from God is whatever comes from God. And you and I will receive that with grateful hearts because we know that he's in control. And you and I will accept that the circumstances of life will be true to his word, which is God causes all things to work together for the good of the called according to his purpose, the good of those that love him. God does that. Romans 8:28, God does that. And when you know that, then you start looking for the promise in whatever it is that you're facing. You don't look at a situation based on the situation. You look at a situation based on the promises in the word of God. In the old school days, you go, can I get an amen? You don't look at a situation based on the natural situation. You look at a situation based on the expressed word of God. What did God say about that situation? Okay? Then that's it. It's done. And you know, all you ever need in life is a word from God. Because the moment that he says it, it happens. The moment that he makes a decision on something, it's finished. You tell me who is stronger than him. Who can enforce their will above him? Who can last if he turns his face against them? You know, I mean, there's people used to say that, you know, if God be with us, who can be against us? Kind of thing. I had a buddy of mine one time said, yeah, if God be against you, who can help you? That's yeah, if God's against you, you tell me where you're going to hide. You tell me who can protect you at the end of this thing. If God is against you. So, you know, the worlders, let them carry on for a window of time doing what they're doing. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation because by God's grace, some of them will be saved. But by and large, let things be what they are and trust him. And you be faithful to his assignment that he's given you. You be faithful to his word. You be faithful to what it is that he has for you. Because in what he has for you, there is life, there is peace, there is joy, there is an incredible adventure awaiting you. So you be faithful to that and watch God in what he does with everything else. So hey, God bless you guys. Love you. As always, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.